Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Penalty Loop Podcast, a podcast about biathlon by Jordan Gottschalk from Penalty Loop and a regular guest, RJ Weiss from Biathlon Analytics.
RJ, I am fighting through my tears of envy at the moment.
I know. I honestly, in the 4 days that I was in Cambor, I could not shake it off.
Yeah.
The first day I didn't even want to interview people because I'm like, well, Jordan's going to be here tomorrow and we'll do it together. Yeah. And I don't want to.
So for everybody who doesn't know, right. So flew up there, and by the way, Katie was right on this. So, when I made the flight plans, we had a layover in Denver, as opposed to, she said we should not go through Denver because it always snows in Denver in March. Well, I was like, well, that's cheaper. We'll just do it. This, it'll be fine. So of course Denver had like 2.5 feet of snow. So we were delayed leaving on Wednesday. We missed our layover. We missed the flight from Denver to Calgary on Wednesday. Then all the really bad weather hit on Thursday. No flight out on Thursday. There were enough flights that were canceled on Thursday and Friday. We didn't get out on Saturday. Anyway, long story short, never ended up happening. I appreciate everybody who reached out and, express their condolences for me not being up there. And it was hard, but RJ soldiered on all by himself and had an amazing weekend. And
the worst part was, for those who don't know, last year we had the IBU Cup in Kenmore.
Yeah, I know.
And Jordan was supposed to be there and he couldn't make it because Ben,
my son, got COVID. Son
got COVID the day before.
And everybody was healthy this time.
I
just want you to know everybody's healthy. Everybody's healthy. We're just not there.
I don't want to dwell on it too long, but it definitely,
It was a bummer, but
at first it was like, okay, it sucks. He misses, the first race, and then, oh, I guess he missed the second race, but at least he'll be here for the deciding races,
and the mass starts. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I found out on Friday, we weren't going to be able to make it out, I was like, this just isn't going to happen. We're doing it again. It just kind of sank in, but,
okay. Well, then I have a section. And it's not going to make up for anything, I understand. And for you listeners, I know you cannot see what's happening right now, but hopefully you can hear it. So to make you feel a little better, Jordan,
yes,
I did put in a little bit of effort to get a couple of things.
Oh, all right.
So these are first surprises. Of all, and I'm just going to show, and you're coming later in the year.
Yes.
So for you, I have a buff that you already knew. However,
these...
Hang on. So this one has been signed by Lisa Hauser. And unfortunately, hard to see. I didn't have a pen with me, but it is signed in white on orange. Hard to see, but it is there by Lisa Vitozzi. Globe winner.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah. So this one is for you. The funny thing is, I had them signed, and then I talked to a fan, and I almost gave this one to the fan.
Oh no!
Because I was like, "Oh yeah, you can."
Yeah.
But no, it's so I put it in a bag. So hopefully that will make you feel a little bit better.
If you guys have seen the picture, oh my gosh, that is unbelievable! If you guys have seen I would say if you've seen the picture of RJ from that was up. It's on his Instagram. He is wearing the buff, so you can see what it looks like there. And there's also another picture independently of it as well.
Second gift.
Oh my God.
Courtesy of Biba Bendika.
No way.
Race bib from Canmore.
Oh my gosh.
That must be the sprint, I'm sure, or the pursuit. I'm not sure if it says
It was definitely the sprint. Yeah.
So number 9, Canmore. I'll keep it here until you're in Calgary.
And oh my gosh.
This is a bit from Soldier Hollow from Anna Gantler. I don't know if you can read it. She says, for Jordan, hope to see you next time. Anna Gantler, Hakuna Matata.
Oh, that's her thing. Hakuna Matata. Oh my gosh. So
these are waiting for you.
You are the best.
When you get here.
We have, so first of all, I've got the best co-host in the world. But also, this is One of the most amazing things about doing this is the ability to interact with these athletes, right? And that we've gotten to speak with Biba a couple times and Anna a couple times, and like they are just genuinely good people, and it is very touching that you asked and that they had them. I love it.
Yeah, they both had to make an effort. So with Biba, she was there on the men's mass start day, and she actually was, you know, trying to get in touch with me, and we tried to hook up and stuff. So, and then Anna had to leave it in her hotel, so I had to pick that up yesterday. But
that's where you had to stop and guess.
It worked great. And Nicholas Hartwig was also supposed to bring one. He forgot. So we'll figure out a way to get something organized for that. But it might be a bit more of a delay.
We'll make a special flight over to Switzerland to go pick it up. I have no problem doing that. Although, I'll be stuck in Newark.
But I kind of should have known, because the first day I drove out on Thursday, and I get there and you go to the media section to sign in and get your pass and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I see some other people that were picking up for other folks.
Yeah.
That weren't there yet. So I'm like, oh, can I get it for Jordan as well? So the media lady looks in the computer. No, I have nothing here about Jordan.
What?
So there was another guy for journalists.
Yeah.
So I asked him, nope. Jordan? Gottschalk? No. Can't see
it. Don't
I'm
exist.
Like, oh, look for Penalty Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vice? I'm like, that's me. Oh, no, there's only one.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't make it, because they weren't going to let me in.
So maybe I should have figured out that something was
not
in the stars.
Well, we had this happen last year, too, right? Didn't remember like last year for the IBU Cup,
they did find you eventually.
Yeah, they just needed the picture.
Yeah, they found you, but they couldn't give it because they wanted to do a identification. But this year they didn't for some reason. So
well, you know, IBU Cup, you know, people are just trying to break in.
Oh yeah, there's also a card from you, from Anna as well.
Oh,
that she left.
That's really sweet.
So it's all, you're gonna get it. I don't want to send it because with the luck you've been having with the
it'll end up in Dallas. Yeah.
I don't want to get lost. So
it'll be in Texas. I don't expect that the athletes are listening to this right now. You know, they've got this, the end of the season. You know, they should be on vacation or doing other things, spending time with their little boy. But you know, just thank you to Biba and Anna, and especially to Lisa's. Especially everybody, but Lisa's, you know, for signing it. We haven't spoken to them. That's why I mentioned them specifically. But that's amazing. And thank you, RJ. That is an amazing gift. I hope you got something for yourself.
No, well, no, I actually, I forgot to ask for a bit for myself, but
it's easier to ask for somebody else. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And with Anna and Biba, it was absolutely, they were like, oh yeah, no, of course I'll. But Anna, I think for a moment she was going to give hers, but then she's like, well, this is my best result ever. So
yes,
I kind of want to hang on to that.
I'm really glad she held on to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the relay is also their best ever.
Mm-hmm.
From Soldier Hollow, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
maybe she'll want it back,
you know,
someday.
Now you have three more to collect.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I gotta track them down. Especially Nick. I gotta send him a message.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, he apologized. Because I was just getting home, and then I got a text from him. He's like, "Oh, I'll read it out actually, because it was kind of funny." And I'll get to that later when we go through the week. But I actually had a really cool conversation, kind of off the record. So they have this new building that has like a sort of a balcony overhanging thing, and below that was, so there's like a path under it, and then there was kind of the media area.
Mm-hmm.
And then most athletes would either go in front of the media or they go through that path behind. And that's where I saw Nick walk. And obviously he didn't have the season he wanted to be having. And he told me that at the start of the season, he felt really great and things were looking good. And then, obviously it didn't go quite as he would hoped.
He gets sick. As many times as he did.
We had a nice chat, and it was all the athletes are so cool and laid back, and just connecting with them is so easy. Like, I always feel a bit awkward going to an athlete, you know, taking their time, but I don't know. It was just like I saw Elvira at a certain point surrounded by all these kits, and she's like, oh, just give me a minute. I have cards, and they're already signed, and oh, can you get them out of my backpack? Like, just super laid back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I texted Nick because he said, just send me a reminder, and then I'll bring it. And then yesterday I got home at 6 p.m., and I get this text from him. Fuck, I'm totally sorry. I was up and out so early today, I forgot. Are you still around? Is there still a way to fix it?
Yeah.
So we'll fix it.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
It's gonna work out.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it was. I know I'm going to be tempted to say I'm sorry for you 100 times and how bad I felt. I'll leave that out because I'm sure it will get boring pretty soon. But I mean, it was. Couple things, like it was busy because Thursday I drove out and back, and then Friday I drove out and back, and then Saturday I drove out, stayed overnight at one of my friends from the biathlon group that I'm with, and then obviously stayed throughout the day on Sunday, and then drove back out. But the weather was crazy. I think we've discussed before where at the beginning of the season we were kind of worried that, you know, either things would have been decided or it would be minus 30 and everything would be canceled, but maybe for the athletes, not the perfect weather because it was warm. It was like plus 15, if not more. But luckily, the snow temperature was always below or just above the freezing point. Now, it was still very, very slushy and soft, but apparently it makes a big difference just for the waxing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, it was just, I had a hard time with being there as a fan and as somebody who also wanted to interview. And then, you know, you were kind of looking for athletes, and then you didn't want to be like in conversation with one athlete and then seeing another one you wanted to have. So in that sense, it was a bit overwhelming for me. And that's, you know, one of those moments where I was like, oh man, if there was the two of us, then you can kind of split that a bit. And you can also chat with somebody together. But all in all, if I go back and think of who I've talked to, either like on the record or off the record, it's been an amazing, amazing time. The organization was super nice. So I didn't even notice on day one. Day one is also when they made that picture in the fan zone.
Yes.
But I didn't. I was just in the, you know, general admission area.
Yeah.
Wasn't really aware of where I was allowed to go and everything. And like I said, I was thinking, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow when Jordan's here and we'll figure it out together. So as a member of the media, and I think specifically as a journalist, I don't know why that role was specifically given to me, but I learned that I also had a, so they had what I was saying under the balcony, they had like a row of Norwegian national TV, German national TV, French national TV, and Czech national TV. Mm-hmm. And then there was one guy who had like a team jacket of the Czech Republic. I don't know exactly if he's a podcaster or if he was a different broadcaster in the Czech Republic. And then there was like an empty corner, and the lady who worked there from Eurovision is like, okay, just go there, wave at me if you see anybody you want to talk to, and I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you see them, like they stand at the Norwegian TV for like 10 minutes, and then French TV 10 minutes, German TV. So by the time they get to the Czechs, they're kind of done, right?
Yeah.
They've probably been asked the same questions. And this is one of those examples where these athletes are just incredible because they see this, you know, podcast they've never heard of, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
And the guy just with a phone in his hand, like I didn't even have a microphone. And then this lady's like, oh, Johannes, can you spend a few minutes with the local media? And he would come over and we'd just chat. Like it didn't even feel like an official interview. It was just kind of...
I wonder if that was sort of nice for them too, because you know when you know you're on TV, you know you gotta I guess you're, yeah, local, but maybe. when you're just chatting with a local dude, I think it's, you know, it's kind of relaxing.
Yeah.
Just chat about whatever.
And I tried to, you know, not ask how are you feeling after the race or something like that. Cause yeah. I don't know. I always feel like I can imagine, well, maybe not exactly because I've never been in that situation, but I can imagine that they feel pretty happy when they win a race. So
I've gotten to hear several of the little interview bits that you did. And some of them I think were probably in that spot that you're describing. Mm. And, no, I think they're fantastic. And I think you did a great job of not asking the standard, you know, how are you feeling? Are you happy? Like, yeah. You know, it was really good.
Oh, I tried for sure. Yeah. So, So the women's sprint was on that first day. I do find it's hard to follow when you're there. They have the, like I could see everything. And I was usually in the finish area, and I could see the score or the, I guess, target boards above the actual targets, like the digital screens and stuff. But you don't really see the athletes because the coaches are in the way kind of thing. And with prone, they're lying down anyway. They did have a bigger screen that had the TV broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you can't follow at all, but between, trying to take pictures and photos and then watching the screen and watching the shooters. And then on your app, you're trying to keep track of, you know, what's the lead of so-and-so. I definitely found that tricky to kind of keep an eye on what was happening. But obviously as the week or the weekend progressed, it was easier to focus on specific athletes like Giacomel and Perrault for the final race. And obviously Vitozzi and Tendrevolt. But at the same time, you're like, you know, a lot of French and a lot of German fans basically surrounding you in every corner. A lot of North Americans too, like people from Alaska, from Minnesota, not from Florida, but... many different places, and you could see that they had already connected in Soldier Hollow in many cases.
Yeah,
especially the Germans and French. They probably, you know, were all on the same trip, going to Soldier Hollow, fly to Calgary, and
if you're coming this far.
Yeah, but same thing. Like I sent you a picture yesterday of this guy dressed up, French guy, and he has these chicken feathers. Do you know the brand Le Coq Sportif?
I do, only because of this. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they have a rooster in their logo, and I don't know if it's the French national emblem or whatever, but a lot of sports have the French rooster.
It's a ridiculous rooster, yeah.
In their logo. So I my guess is that he was dressed up as one. But he was a super funny guy. He just chatted for a bit, and then he's also the one, if you listen to the broadcast and you hear this super annoying, bad sounding horn or tube that somebody blows on, he actually had a bagpipe as well. And I saw on Instagram that somebody was saying, like, my French may not be good, but it's a lot better than his musical quality.
That was very funny. Yeah.
But anyway, it did create an incredible atmosphere. And it's funny in the sense too that, like, I didn't know what to expect with number of people being there, spectators, and I was definitely overwhelmed compared to my expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think the positive of you know, having maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people compared to 20,000, that it really felt like after 2 days, you kind of, a lot of people look familiar because you've already seen them yesterday. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
You know, everybody's friendly to each other and exchanging things. And the buffs really worked well because obviously they weren't needed for the cold, but they were still a nice gadget as some German fans come over and ask for one. And,
yeah, I think they're going to be good. I think that they're going to, we gotta get some more. Gotta take them on our European tour next year.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be cool. So I wasn't in the media sector. I was at the area where the athletes came out. I talked to Lotte Lee for a bit, and I'm not sure if we're going to embed that in this episode or the next one. Watched the podium ceremony. Yeah, and then so the podium ceremony is kind of cool because obviously the people that are on the podium are there, but their teams are also there.
Mm-hmm.
So and even just other skiers just hanging out. So that's why I was literally like Lisa Hauser was leaning against the fence from one side, and I was leaning against it from the other side. And then we were just kind of waiting. So I'm like, "Hey, would you mind
just shaking my head in jealousy at the moment?"
Yeah, but I know. And then there was this Italian girl.
You didn't tell me that story until just now, and I'm glad you did.
I know,
because I just would have been like fuming, not fuming. Fuming's not the right word, but just like clouded thinking for the rest of the weekend. Like,
yeah, but you can only imagine what would have happened if you were standing right behind her. So
I would have embarrassed you, and we never would have gotten another interview the rest of the weekend. So maybe it's a good thing.
She was actually pretty. How would I say?
We have to hope she never actually listens to us, or she never will come on.
No, but she was actually one of the athletes that was a bit more focused on the and I don't know, maybe it was something was going on because she was kind of comforted by a Swiss coach, and who knows, right? Yeah. Anyway, so there was this younger girl next to me in the crowd, Italian girl, who was talking to the Italian coaches if she could have an autograph, because she was all the way from Italy, and she could have an autograph from Lisa of Tozzi. And I don't think it was really supposed to happen, but, and I don't speak Italian, but it sounded a bit like in his intonation, "I'll see what I can do" kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Lisa Vitozzi came over just to sign her autograph. And I'm like, well, I have the buff out anyway, and they have a marker in their hand. So
yeah,
I just held it out there, and she looked at me and she's like, "Oh, okay. Well." But it is white. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I don't have a marker, so anything will work. So that's how you got your signature on your buff.
Those are magnificent. Did you talk to them at all during that? I know you talked to Vitozzi later, but did you talk to Hauser or Vitozzi at that point? Okay. Yeah.
No. They were just focused on what was happening in front of them. Yeah. So
I assume that Hauser was there for, that was one of Anna Gundler's flower ceremonies. Yeah. She's had so many of them recently.
Yeah. Because it was funny when she was running up to her, she got sixth, right, in the sprint?
Yeah, I think sixth and fifth.
And so I was yelling her name and giving her the thumbs up, and she's like, "Hey," super excited, so responding, and that was already so cool. And then I think I very briefly talked to her, but I didn't record. That was a thing I had to get used to as well. In some cases, you know, when you're just spontaneously yelling somebody's name and they come over and you chat with them, you don't want to be like, "Oh, let me pull out my phone and record it."
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
And then on my way out of the stadium, I saw Johanna Talaharm.
Oh, yes.
Who was also asking, like, "Where's Jordan?" So I told her, "Well, he's coming, hopefully coming tomorrow."
I need to send her a message.
She didn't do too well in the race, so she was a little bit down, and she was also not feeling quite well. She had some breathing airway issues, so so she was like, kind of the realization that her season was done. So but it was still nice that she very nice that she took some time to chat.
I
chatted with Maltali as well.
Didn't have the season maybe she was hoping for individually, but she anchored that Estonian, that mm-hmm. miracle Estonian relay team, and Nova Miesto, so it's just amazing.
Well, that whole team just finished so strong, right?
Yeah, sorry,
still amazing. Yeah, no, so Lottely came by, so I chatted with her a little bit, and I was actually super excited for her that she did the three races, but I don't know if there was much on TV, but yeah, she was pretty spent. Like,
oh, was she?
She was, and you know, it's been such a long season, and then you know, there's still, I know jet lag, usually after a couple of days you get used to it, but it can take a while before you really adjust to the time zone completely.
Yeah, you know, trying to compete in a professional sport.
Yeah. So she was pretty exhausted.
Yeah.
So But it was just awesome to just kind of be surrounded by all these athletes that you always see on TV, and then and then there's Brent, if I'm not mistaken, also from Minnesota, who's like, yes. Hey, are you RJ? It was so funny. I'm like, and I was kind of thinking maybe it's somebody from like the local biathlon community that I've talked to before or something. And he's like, no, I'm a big fan of your podcast.
So,
and
I'm glad you brought it up.
Take a selfie.
So he sent me an email, a couple. One of them had you and J-Tubo in it. But he also sent me an email, a follow-up afterwards. And he said, and I just wanted to read this to you. He said, please tell RJ, thanks for being gracious enough to let me bug him multiple times this weekend to talk biathlon. He was incredibly friendly, and getting to chat with him was one of the things that helped my weekend great. So
Awesome. But yeah, it's very mutual because it's... It was just great chatting with him and, you know, just from a biathlon fan to a biathlon fan. And there was many super kind people that either, you know, would just in passing say, oh, Penalty Loop podcast, I listen to you all the time, you know, stuff like that, or keep it up, or thanks for the work, or, you know, yeah. And there was an American couple that I lost their last name, but their daughter is actually racing in, I believe, the junior US team.
Yes. Yep.
And I've chatted with them like numerous times and they were super nice and, just fun to talk to also people that, you know, are connected to IBU in a bit different way through their daughter.
Right.
But also there as fans and, just loving biathlon and this, family from Alaska, some people from Germany who I, you know, just started chatting with and then, ended up giving some ideas of what to do on the, in the hours that there was no biathlon and do a little hike. Yeah. And the next day they're like, yeah, we went on the hike. It was awesome. And so I don't know. It was just really fun. Yeah. To
local tour guide.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was asking, Mikael Rush if he was going to be there and he wasn't.
No. But, did you?
I said, the next time that he's here, I can provide him some tips and, things to do in the area.
Was but, he wasn't yeah, there, was he?
No, he was not there. And, I thought Eric Lesser would be there, but I think he went home after Soldier Hollow.
Yeah, they went back. Yep.
But I saw, I don't know if that was the first day, I saw Sven Fischer, who I was a fan of, like, I don't know, it's probably 20 the 1960s years ago. Yeah. For me. But that was 20 years ago. So I just, you know, just jumped over and said hi. So I saw, what's her name now? Just escapes me. Laura Dahlmeier was there. Just said hi to, I don't know. It's just, you know, all these people that you know from the past. And
it's amazing.
Hey, how are you? Yeah. Yeah. It was, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a bit of a blur. Like all the days are kind of interwoven. Yeah. 'Cause then, it might have been the first day. It could have been the second day that I was kind of looking for a couple people that I wanted to talk to. And then I'm standing in the parking lot with another buddy from the biathlon group that I'm part of, Mike. And we're just chatting about, you know, who did you talk to and is it hard to get, you know, get him to come over and stuff. And then all of a sudden I see Lou Jeanmonod walking.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
completely zoned out, staring at her phone while she was like basically blocking a car who wanted to pass and didn't want to run over one of the best biathletes in the world.
Yeah, that would have been bad. It would have really changed the whole weekend had she gotten run over.
Yeah, no kidding. But I guess it's kind of the nice thing for spectators. So in Camor, you have the Nordic Center, which is in a provincial park. And because it's within the boundaries of a provincial park, they cannot have any like motels and that kind of thing there. So, and parking was limited. So most people actually parked in the town of Canmore and then you can either take a, I don't know, 20-30 minute walk from downtown up to the Nordic Center. So I think a lot of people did that. And there was like buses every 10-15 minutes that would drive people. So a lot of the athletes, if not all of the athletes, were also using these buses. And so many times they would just, you know, based on the schedule, you'd see 10, 20 athletes either running or walking to the bus stop. I ran into Ziggy Meze at some point. I saw Juni Arnaclave and Ingrid Tandervold after the pursuit, I think.
Didn't get Ziggy on the interview.
No, I did. I text you about him.
Yeah.
Because I forgot. We exchanged like a couple. I asked him if he wanted a ride to the hotel.
Because he missed the bus.
Well, he was running, right? So, and then he's like, oh, no, taking the bus, but thank you. Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of funny, right?
So I just scrolled it back through our hundreds of text messages so I could get to the timeline. You've got these pictures of Lisa Hauser, you have Deidre Irwin and Lena Hackett-Gross sharing a funny moment. I don't know what they were chuckling about. Mm. Just trying to spark your memory.
Well, that was because Lena Hackett-Gross was it second or third? Third, right? On the sprint?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, was already like beaming in joy, and then they must be close friends because they saw each other and they're literally dancing in front of everybody. It was so funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Ziggy making calls to the airport. Scrolling through some more pictures, just trying to just jog in your memory. Well, that's all I got from Thursday.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remembered. And it was funny because on the Thursday,
you burned your head.
Oh man, it was. You could probably, because I didn't bring a cap because I was like, it's going to be sunny, but it's not going to be that bad. But it was stupid, of course. So on that the fan zone picture, I have actually the buff on my head.
Yeah, it looked great
To protect it from burn. Well, I don't know, but I don't know about that. But I guess it looked good enough to get me a front and center of the picture. Which is so funny, right? Because you would think, based on the picture, that they would have been right in my face, and I didn't even know they were taking pictures.
That's funny. I wonder how they did it. Yeah.
That must be one of those crazy lenses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Men's sprint?
Yeah, so that was a bit warmer, because on the Thursday it was -4 when I left the house, and on Friday it was +4. So, the snow was definitely a bit different, but I got there and then I got ready for the sprint, and then somebody who I was showing my card to get into the media zone, he's like, "Oh, are you going to media zone or to the VIP lounge?" And I didn't even know I was able to go there. So then I'm like, I'll have a quick look in the VIP lounge. Now, typically, I'm not really that interested in VIP lounges and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, that's typically not where the real fans hang out. So, I mean, it was nice free coffee. So that's, I popped in there every now and then to see if there was any athletes or anything like that. But
were they ever there? Or were they always outside?
I think there was one session where Christian and Emma Lunder and Nadia Moser was there. I didn't see other athletes, but they're probably the Canadian team was there.
They were probably asked to be there, yeah.
Kind of a meet and mingle.
Yeah.
So I did see Christian and Emma at some point coming out, but yeah, obviously they both, Christian missing out on the pursuit by one spot.
Yeah.
And probably not Emma not having a, so I, and there was a lot of people asking for selfies and that kind of thing. So I didn't really want to intrude. It was a bit unfortunate. I didn't really have a chance to talk to any Canadians or Americans, but, so that's where I found my lineup spot in the media area. Mm-hmm. And then, I did chat with Christian Gowett in the VIP because he was, I think was, just talking to his parents or friends or something like that. And mm-hmm. I was like, can we have you on in the off season? He's like, of course. Yeah. So the men's sprint, I just, just watched that happen. I actually don't recall if I had some official interviews. I did talk to Baiba briefly, just say hi. And of course she's like, where's Jordan? So she was disappointed that you were not able to make it out, hoping that she would still see you on the weekend.
That was the best.
And I think that must be the day that I chatted with Lou Jean Monod a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny.
That's
right?
The day that of course, she ran you over.
No, she wasn't driving. She was being run over almost.
I thought you said that day she was out for a ski and she almost ran into you. You said sorry. She laughed at you. I feel like I'm reciting the plot of a rom com.
Yeah, no, I just don't remember what date it was, but
yeah,
there was like on the women's race day for the sprint, there were a lot of male athletes just getting their skiing in. So, and then on Friday, I actually went out for a ski myself, saw a number of athletes and. Yeah, I don't know if that was the day that I bumped into her, but yeah. She, again, like as an athlete, you could be like, get the hell off my track or, yeah. What are you doing here? But
I'm training here.
Super, super nice. Yeah. Yeah. So when we talked to, I was chatting with my buddy Mike and then we were talking about Lu Jeanmonod that I didn't get her on. And then I'm looking around, and I'm like, oh, what are the odds? There's Lu Jeanmonod. So, yeah. I stopped her. Like just for a minute. And then, I think, I said, yeah, I'm with the Penalty Loop podcast. I think, Jordan has gone. Oh yeah. Jordan. She actually remembered your name.
Oh,
and,
wow, quite memorable.
And I said, are you still going to be on now that you're so, high up in the standings? And of course you have to do it. No, we're still good for the off season. And
yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully that will work. And then I chat a little bit with, how she felt about her sick days. And she was very realistic. Like, biathlon is just such a sport of what ifs.
Yeah.
You can't think that way. But we were actually chatting, with some good results. You could still get second in the globe. Well, and she's like, I didn't. Yeah. And but it was funny, too, because she was like, yeah, but if I had raced and I was in a position to win the globe, I would have been way more nervous and I probably wouldn't have done so well. So
humble woman.
Oh yeah.
Did you see, by the way, not to jump ahead, but did you see the pictures that she posted afterwards? It was like her and Reza Boucher and Sophie Chavot and Tangevold. And there were a couple other women there from some other teams. And they were just like, this is after their race. Maybe the men's race hadn't started yet. And they're just sitting around like in like lawn chairs or sitting in the snow, just taking in the sun and drinking some drinks and clearly just having a good time, just enjoying the fact that the season was over.
I didn't see those pictures, but I do know that after the women's mass start, she got interviewed by the French TV and I think the Czechs were waiting. But she seemed to walk away. So I just, called her name and she came over. But then on her way to me, she actually turned around and gave her, I don't know what you call it, the hip flask thing that cross country skiers all have. Just that bidon.
Yeah.
That you put around your waist and she gave it to him. And then, she's like probably saying smell it because that's what he did. And then he took a sip and then he gave it to the other camera guy and he took a sip and they're all like, ooh. So yeah, there was definitely some celebratory drink in it.
Some not water.
And I saw her later on, go around with that again.
Yeah.
I think I sent you a video of picture, maybe didn't get to it, but on Sunday after the men's race, she was literally walking around with some kind of container of drink. And just basically holding it up, opening a tap, and then some other athletes would drink straight from there. And I mean,
she's getting the party going after such a long season. Yeah, you gotta
they,
have fun.
And they can, and I it was funny too. So imagine you become the winner of the women's globe, overall globe.
Mm-hmm.
And probably within half an hour, I'm kind of walking around there and they had these food trucks.
Yeah.
And I see Lisa Vitozzi with a large number of other Italians at one of the food trucks to order a burger. Because, of course, the whole season they just have to eat healthy and care. Yeah. So I'm sure the burger place was busy with
a very long line.
yeah. So it's.
Oh, man.
And that was also cool because, there were some kids asking for her autograph, but generally people just kind of left her alone. Like they weren't like surrounding her.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. So then Saturday was the sort of the decisive day for the women in the pursuit, and then
and
JT started with the we forgot to mention on Friday you saw JT Bo get the largest sprint margin of victory ever on the World Cup.
Oh man.
So yeah,
it was incredible. I don't
know, what was that like? Was the did the crowd have an understanding, or was it sort of deflated because he won by so much?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely. People knew, and you just saw people shake their head in disbelief almost how he and this he was like, I didn't check any of the data, but his skiing must have been so much faster.
It was. Yeah. It was phenomenal. Yeah.
And I guess I have the benefit of knowing the track that they ski on, and of course, my shape, my waxing, my skis, everything is 100 times worse. But I know how steep those hills are, and the way he was going up, like all the athletes fly up where I struggle, but like there was something extra to him that made it even look like he wasn't even trying full out.
Yeah.
He
was 33 seconds faster than his brother, 46 seconds faster than Hofer. And those were the second and third fastest guys on the, and that was a sprint.
Yeah.
So that's just making it 11 seconds per lap. Anyway, this is ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, and he just looked so relaxed. And of course, after winning the pursuit, he knew he had the globe and, And I think, so that was Saturday. No.
Saturday. Yeah, that was the day that Tangerville lost it, and I don't know if you could see her after the race. I mean,
I did.
Yeah,
and she was being interviewed by the Norwegian TV, and I thought it was Ingrid. Ingrid Tangerville. I thought she was being interviewed by Tyrell Eckhoff because it was also a blonde lady, but it wasn't Tyrell Eckhoff. I don't know if Tyrell was there. Probably not.
She was. Yeah.
Oh, she was? Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, she, I took pictures and a little bit of video of Tangerville being interviewed, and basically it's not like, she had tears in her eyes, but she was just so deflated, like in disbelief, like how can this happen? And, I don't know, I might've sent it to you, but I didn't post it because I was like, well, that's, I don't know. I don't want to be one of those like, oh, look at this, you know?
So, yeah, you sent it to me and you even asked me not to post it. I wasn't going to do it anyway. It's just, you could just see in her face. It was just sadness, right? It was just sadness.
But, and that's actually before the weekend. The one thing that I was thinking on my way driving there is like, I think starting at the World Championships, we just haven't seen, you know, Ingrid Tangerville is always sparky and, you know, smiling a lot and seemingly not taking everything too serious. And that kind of disappeared, which, you know, I was more thinking of a coaching perspective if they would be like, just try to be yourself, just be your sparkly self that doesn't worry. And it's easy to say, of course, but, did you see the video that she posted with Junie Arnaclive, like literally 3 hours after the last race on Sunday, where she's doing this dance in the parking lot?
No, but that's more like it.
I assumed it was also recorded after, but they could have recorded it earlier. But it's good to see that, you know, she kind of picked it up again.
Yeah.
I think after she didn't do well in the pursuit. Mm-hmm. I think in her head, she had come to terms that it was just not going to happen anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Fatozzi made it probably more exciting than Tangerville expected, but still. Yeah. I think you texted me at some point, even with Fatozzi being, 20-something, you said
Tangerville
still needed to get in second, and she was, 10th at that time, so.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't going to happen. I think it also helps that Tangerville was able to go out with a decent race. Obviously, it wasn't her best, but I think she was like 9 for 10 in her last 10 standing shots. Right. So that's kind of nice for her to have that.
Yeah.
But So Saturday was sort of the defining defining race.
Yeah,
for,
and that's and so the interesting, because I was standing next to the Czech Republic TV booth, they had all the Czech girls come over. Talk about a language I don't understand. I did not understand one single word of it.
Yeah.
And they were on for a long time. I don't know if that was national TV or if it was live broadcasted or not, but they were chatting a lot. And then, so they talked to Davidova, and then they were talking to Vybornikova. I did take some pictures and videos for you because I know you're a big fan.
Big fan.
I tried to.
She's going to be a big star.
Yeah. As soon as she was done, she kind of just walked away, probably done. So I also didn't really push it or anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as Marketa Davidova was just waiting for Vybornikova to be ready, I just asked her a couple questions and was finally smart enough to actually hit the record button and then talk to her. So that was cool. I talked to Lottely again, who at that point was really, really tired. And then I was like, are you going to be good for the race tomorrow? And she's like, oh, I don't know if I'll make it because the girls that were behind me in the standing did pretty good. But I think she qualified as, what, 26 or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she was 30 or 29. She was.
No, she was. Yeah.
Clearly
yeah,
in
25th. Yeah.
So yeah, she's a tough one because yeah, she was really tired. I don't remember which race it was, but probably after the mass start, she kind of crashed. And what you will seldom see, they'll take skis off or have other athletes take their skis off, but they don't often take their rifle off. And she just kind of threw it off. And pretty much instantly, there was somebody of the medical staff that ran over and checked in with her.
Yeah.
No, she was fine. She was obviously exhausted, but... I was like, I'm standing right here. There's nothing I can do, of course, but
yeah.
I don't really want to be eyewitness to her having a medical issue. So
talk about running on fumes. Like she was at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the conditions, well, you saw Ligret in shorts that were ripping up as the race progressed. But
did you see what happened to him in the mass start? The coaches didn't recognize him, so they didn't give him any feedback.
No way.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. So funny.
Because I think he was the only one with short sleeves, short legs, and holes in his pants all over the place.
Holes in his pants. I meant to ask, going back to the pursuit, what was it like being there for a true Jacqueline performance?
Well, that was one of those things where... You know, you see the scoreboard, but you're not really
it's getting much on TV. Of it. Yeah,
It's even with people around me, you can just almost hear them think like, "Oh, here we go again."
What it was. You could watch it happening, right?
And was it his third shooting? He hit two, and then he missed three, or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, and then his fourth shooting, he hit all five.
And it was, I'm pulling it up right now. It was one miss, zero misses, two miss, one miss. But after the one miss in the first shoot, like he just went bananas, right? And closed down the gap. And it was, you know, not down the gap, but he pulled himself up again. I don't understand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was making up ground the entire time. And then, of course, he just, you know, shot it away. It is the classic Jacqueline. And then, of course, to finish in fourth, right? Oh, man.
Yeah.
It is always entertaining.
It is definitely. Because as I think he does,
we
all know that one day it will click and then
he's
going to win, right? So.
Right. And you look at his last however many races, like these are his last finishes in reverse order. He went third in the mass start, fourth in the pursuit, fourth in the sprint, third in the pursuit in Soldier Hollow, second in the sprint in Soldier Hollow, fifth in the mass start in Oslo, ninth in the individual. So like they weren't bad results. It was just
no kidding.
Wild racing. Anyway, we can save that for later.
Yeah. No, but it's he's definitely like I saw him at the French TV once or twice, but The Bow Brothers were at some point at the Czech TV, and I think Jean Monnet as well.
Yeah.
I mean, in English, but yeah. I don't recall the French athletes being at the Czech TV, but...
Yeah. Did they go to the Norwegian TV, or did they just go to the French TV? Not anything against the French. I'm just curious.
No. Well, they were either at the, also at the Norwegian and German, or one of those two, but yeah. No, they were talking to everybody.
Okay.
So that's also where I talked to Lisa Vitozzi. Had a fun short interview, and she actually gave me more time than I expected. So that was pretty cool.
It was actually very cool. Yeah. Yeah. You sent me that audio, and I about fell out of my chair. I was sitting in when I saw who it was.
Yeah. That was one of the times where she wanted to leave after the checks, and this lady from Eurovision, she's like, "Oh no, there's one more for local media." And it's funny because she seemed kind of like, you almost imagined that she's like, "Oh, another one."
Yeah.
But then when she chatted, I didn't get the sense at all that she wanted to get out of there or whatever. Like, she was taking her time.
Yeah.
And I felt amazingly privileged because there was a lot of fans that were like, I don't know, 5 meters away behind a fence. And they were calling her name and stuff. And, you know, she's chatting with me, and then she turns around and walks away. I mean, she waved and stuff, and she came back later to take pictures with people. But yeah, I felt incredibly privileged to have access to these athletes. And
that's unbelievable.
And that's also when I talked to Anna Magnusson briefly, when her partner. I can't think of his name now.
Pepe Femling
retired, so they had a fun show, and at some point she was just kind of waiting and watching. So I asked her a couple questions, and then I had a chat with Nick Hardwick, who was, did he race the pursuit? He was not going through the media path, but kind of the path on the other side. And then I just looked over and saw him, and he stopped and said hi. And then I was saying that to you earlier, but I didn't record because we were just kind of having a quick chat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of sitting on some concrete block or whatever, and just kind of laid back, and he was just kind of leaning over, and we're just as if we have known each other for years. It was really cool.
He is like a very chill dude, right? And just we've chatted with him, you know, and during our one interview, and then I've caught up with him a couple of times on Instagram or whatever. But he's very relaxed, and it was like he's always been very open with us, and you know, he's just willing to tell you kind of what he's thinking, and it's a very cool experience.
Yeah, and just the whole idea of I could say nothing if he'd be like, "Hey, how are you doing?" and then keeps on walking.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
But he stopped and just had a chat, and we definitely had some interesting discussions. Where in hindsight, I was like, "Wow, that he it's amazing he shared that with me." But it was cool. And then after the men's pursuit, I actually got to interview Johannes.
That was unbelievable.
That was surreal, but again, didn't give me the impression at all that he was just like wanted to get out of there. I think that's the one where I thanked him for winning the Globe so that we have a chance that Tarja will do another season, and he laughed about that. So, you know,
didn't he say that? I think you asked him a question that nobody had asked him yet, or something.
He said after when I'd stopped and he walked away, and then he's like, "Yeah, thanks for asking a different question." It was cool.
Made an impression. How cool is that? Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then
I think that's awesome.
Well, maybe him and his brother can put it together, because this was on Sunday when I'm like, I was debating if I would go skiing, so I was thinking of changing my clothes. I'm kind of standing by my car, and then Tarje comes casually walking to the bus stop. So I had a, again, off record, but just a very brief chat with him saying, you know, thanks for, you know, being an incredible athlete for so long and
yeah.
giving us so much joy watching him. And we chatted about, so I said, so now that you were so close, you're going to come back next year. And he was just laughing and saying more like, oh yeah, now I have to come back, but it wasn't, I don't want to claim that
he was just being silly.
Guaranteed that he was coming back. He was just kind of joking, but just also not like another guy asking me questions. He was just genuinely smiling. And then what I find very interesting, both, I don't know if I gave JT one, but Lisa, Fitotsi, Anna Gandler, Baiba, Antarie, and a couple of other athletes, I gave them a buff, and I know they probably get 100 buffs every year and mm-hmm. little hats with and every single one of them was like, oh, thank you, I really appreciate that. Or like, they weren't like, oh yeah, thanks, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elvira was another, cause she was handing out stuff. And then I went over and said, here, I'll hand out something to you. And then, she kind of looked like, what the hell's that? And then she's like, oh, that's so nice. Thank you. So
that's really sweet. Yeah.
Just really
good people, you know,
a bunch of awesome people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky, right? But these are genuinely good people.
Yeah. And that's also, I interviewed Anna on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, luckily, Chelsea from our biathlon group was super kind and letting me stay at her place. And Nate, who also lives there.
Made your commute a little bit shorter.
So I didn't have to drive back and forth. So that was awesome. We had a nice evening. And then, Sunday was the last racing mass starts.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Jomino winning was incredible.
Yeah.
All the, you could tell that the end of the season was there. And, I don't think there was many athletes that even made it to the media area. They were just like done and, you know,
good for them.
I think they made it to their national ones, but, they were just not really.
Yeah, good for them.
Interested anymore, so I didn't really try.
Did you, from your vantage point, did you see could you see the finish line?
Yeah.
So you saw when Patozzi finished and Tangerold ran up there?
So I didn't want to go on Twitter. No, that's not true. But it was actually Hedwig Waltz that came over first to Patozzi.
Yeah.
Tanner Revolt definitely. And it was, I also have video and pictures that I'll post at some point, but it was beautiful to see in the sense that obviously Vitozzi was really happy and Tanner Revolt really sad, but you could kind of sense that Vitozzi was also almost apologetic to Tanner Revolt or feeling her sadness. And, and you could see that Tanner Revolt was feeling excited for Vitozzi. So they're actually, you know, hugging for quite, like, not for a second, but it was.
It was a very genuine hug. And like it came across, but I'm so, like, just being, when you see something like that in person, that even it hits even more strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's, and very respectful attitude from the other athletes, because a number of them wanted to congratulate Vitozzi and they waited until.
Yeah.
You know, they were done. And I did take a few pictures during the ceremony, Tanner Revolt was kind of sitting in the back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much like, it's not like I wanted to get this cool picture I could post, but I was just more curious how she would, you know, how she would handle that. Cause I mean, that must be the bittersweet part of the sport, right? Where for the whole season, you've been the big candidate to win the globe and then you're listening to the announcer and the crowd cheering for Vitozzi in the end. So
I'm sure there's a little part of her that says, hey, next year that'll be me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, in that sense, biathlon is such a cruel sport where, you know, one miss can be winning a globe or becoming third on the last day.
Right.
Yeah. And then I had a quick chat with Baiba. It was so fun. So at some point I saw Lou Jomino with that barrel of drink. And then later on, I was in the VIP lounge. Which had the advantage of being higher up, so I could actually kind of oversee. Because a lot of athletes were just kind of, you know, hanging out and chatting and that kind of thing. And then I saw Jean Monod and I think another French athlete. I thought at first that it was Reza Boucher, but I don't think it was her. I think it was a younger athlete, but not the one that came in third. But anyway, and they were running off to kind of the backside of where the track went down the hill that we couldn't see it anymore from the stadium.
Yeah.
No idea what they were doing, but they...
Who was it again?
They were Jean Monod and another French, I think, younger athlete.
Yeah, mixing up drink.
Well, I don't know. No, they weren't carrying drinks at that point, but the way they were walking, you know, they weren't just walking. They were like almost, I don't know how to, holding hands and just hopping kind of.
Yes, I'm sure.
By that time they weren't sober, but.
Yeah, they were in party mode. Yeah, good.
It's just fun to see where, just, you know, taking in the beauty of Camor, because obviously, like, I saw one race, I think, in the evening, rewatching it, but I didn't see many races, but just on the screen that I could see in the stadium, the pictures must have been incredibly beautiful. Especially there's this one shot where they go up a super fast downhill, go under a bridge, and then a steep up section, and then the camera's positioned that you can sort of see them go over the hills and then the mountains in the background. And
Canmore shows extremely well.
I don't want to say it's more beautiful than Antholtz, but I'm sure it's giving Antholtz a good competition.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And obviously it could have been snowstorms and minus 15, which is definitely not untypical. The one thing I heard from the British commentators in everything I've seen, like I had them on for just briefly on my phone because I wanted to check something. Mm-hmm. Talking about how this was the time of the year that the Chinooks came in, which is totally untrue because they come in whenever.
I knew that's what you were going to mention.
And I'm like, how do you come up with this shit? Like, it's just simply not true.
They talk about biathlon for hours at a time, right? They are very smart in so many things, but then they also say things that just like, what? What are you talking about?
For this was like,
you didn't see this.
There's a chance they've been misinformed, but I was like, if you don't know, just don't say it.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, I can't remember if it was the sprint race or the pursuit. They said, I think it was the sprint because Tangevold won it, and they said about four or five times that Reza Boucher had won it, and I was like, unless I'm like, I did the calculations like four times, I was like, I'm pretty sure that they're just wrong. And they put the graphic up, and the graphic had Tangerwald on top, and they still said Reza Boucher. And I was like, okay, these guys, they're just going to do their thing.
I had a couple of other people that I ran into that.
I could not do their job. And
absolutely.
And if they listened to us on this podcast, I'm sure they'd have the same comments, but still. It's sometimes.
No, I know.
I apologize, but did the men's mass start? Did it have sort of like a celebratory atmosphere around it? Because with the overall globe already being determined, it felt almost like a fun, awesome exhibition to finish the season. And I don't know if it felt that way on.
Yeah, it did. Person. I mean, I think there was some tension about U25.
But
I think, was it after the second shoot?
Because like the first shooting
Giacomel didn't do. He had a miss and Perot was clean, I think.
And then, but after the second shooting, it was pretty much over.
Then it was pretty clear.
Yeah. The only tension was who was winning the Mass Dark Globe.
Yeah, and because I saw, it was so weird to see, because the nice thing in the camera track is that when there's a bit of a gap, so I could see in the far distance, Johannes Bo go up, and other athletes go through the stadium and other athletes already shooting. But at some point I saw Tarje with some other athletes that I knew were far behind.
Yeah.
And then I'm at the finish line and kind of looking in, and all of a sudden, did Tarje come in fifth or something?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Like, did he ski like 2 minutes faster than everybody else in the last loop?
It was an unreal comeback. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but he started out. Shortcut. He had three misses at the beginning, and like he fell way back. And then all of a sudden, by the fourth shooting, I was like, "Oh, here he is in the top 10 again." Like,
yeah,
I don't know what happened.
I couldn't believe it that he was there. Yeah. And did Samuelson have an issue with his rifle or something, or did he have five misses?
I don't know what happened with Samuelson. He had three misses each, his first two prones, and yeah, and that was that.
But kudos to the crowd, because every time, you know, there was groups of people all the time coming by and they were cheering them on, and then Samuelson just came by by himself,
all by himself.
A lot later. And he probably got the loudest cheers.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, people know him, they wanted to encourage him, and I think they were very, very cool that way. So, and to all athletes, actually, but I didn't see anybody leave, you know, after the top 10 was in. Like everybody waited for the last guy, they cheered the last guy that came in, and it was
did you happen
atmosphere.
To see Hofer and Buona finish?
I did not see that. I saw the picture later on, but
and Buona 11th, right? And they technically have like the same time, and I didn't know, because we only saw them at the very end. I was like, I don't know if you could see them, like were they skiing together, you know, up the whole finish line, or what happened
side by side, or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
I'm you know, I was right there, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing it, but
yeah,
I did see Jacomel come in. What position was he in?
He was in
around
fourth.
That. Oh, fourth. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The Italians had an awesome weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Obviously, Patozzi, and they did, you know, but Giacomel, U25, three guys in the top, the top 10 here, technically.
Yeah.
Also,
no, and I thought the respect for Benny Dole was, you know, I'm not surprised, because I know he's a great character and well appreciated, but he, more the how so athletes were kind of lining up to thank him and wish him well, but then there was like I remember Perrault, for example, was waiting, and then I don't know who it was, but let's say it was Tarje, and Perrault let him go first because he knew, you know, Tarje has known him a lot longer. So it was just this,
that's kind of cool.
Not just respect to Benny Dole, but also to other athletes that are like, okay, you're a big boss, so you go first.
You guys, you're a big boss. No, I mean, there's Tarje and Dole have been racing together forever, right? So
I don't know if it was specifically Tarje, but it was an older athlete.
Yeah.
It's just, and again, it was super cool to see. And I almost felt bad because I think the German TV had a, like an interview with him pretty soon after, and I kind of felt like they almost pulled him out a little too quick, but who knows? Maybe that's what he asked, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very cool to see.
So,
and then I also wanted to shout out, I think his name was Vince. So it's a biathlon fan from Holland who has volunteered at the Oslo World Cup three times, I think he said, including this year. And he decided to come out to Canmore. He applied for a volunteer position and got it. And he was helping out. So living a dream of watching live biathlon in front of him in a non-European country. So that was pretty cool to see, because I remember, you know, being a biathlon fan in Holland, you could always watch on the German TV, which is great, but I could never find anybody who was a fan, let alone, or knew what biathlon was, let alone was a fan of it.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you feel isolated, I guess. And it was just cool to chat with him, and just generally so many fun conversations with, you know, because you know they're biathlon fans, so it's you have something in common, right?
Yep, exactly.
But, so at this spot, for those who are listening and have talked to me, it was awesome to meet you all, and I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat. And it was super cool to actually see people that listen to our podcast. So,
And that is one of the other things I'm extremely envious about, right? Because I had so many people that messaged me, you know, would we be open to meeting up? And, you know, did we, you know, can let us know where you are so we can come say hi. And so I'm sorry, and, I didn't get to meet so many people.
Yeah, I saw a lot of genuine sadness when I told them that you, you know, originally that you were coming later, and then I'm not sure if you're still going to come.
A,
and then
a real Florida man live and in person, right? It's a true exhibit.
Yeah, here's the one and only Florida biathlon fan.
Florida biathlon man. Yeah, it's a one man army down here, but we do what we can.
Yeah, no, everybody felt very bad for you, but. It is what it is, I guess.
Any closing thoughts? We're going to come back. We're going to do another episode just about the racing and Canmore, and then another episode just about the you know, kind of a season wrap up. But any last thoughts about the atmosphere, the experience, all that?
I think, you know, Canmore Biathlon organizing committee defends everybody involved. If they could have had planned a weekend to increase their chances of getting more World Cups, I think they couldn't have done a better job. Because, the visuals were stunning. The races were stunning.
Yeah.
I think everything just came together.
And it looked like a good perfect test, way. And, right? It didn't look unfair, you know? There was no crazy wins. You know, it was a stern test, and I think that was good. It was fair.
Yeah, and I mean, the snow was tough, but it was equal for all the men or all the women, and I think overall it was just couldn't have gone more perfect other than this guy from Florida not being there. But we got something to aim for, right?
Yeah, and I think that you are not the only person who feels this way. I think that, you know, or you and me. I think that a lot of people that, you know, European fans getting to watch biathlon in prime time, I saw a lot of people commenting how much fun that was. And so, look, this is my call to the IBU. More races in the United States, right? You get prime time viewing audiences in Europe. You get some beautiful places here that people don't get to see as much.
I think USA and Canada.
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the fans came out, you know, in both in Soldier Hollow and Canmore. Mm-hmm. Right. So hopefully we can see more of this when the next round of schedules are released, I think next year.
Yep. Would be. Yeah. So if that happens, or when that happens, maybe I should say, I expect you to book a flight at least a week ahead of time.
A week ahead of time. I think I'll actually be living there by that point. So I don't think we're going to have to worry about this anymore.
Let's hope so.
So yeah, hopefully I'll be living.
I'm sure I'm going to remember like 50 other things, but.
Next year we're going to do our European tour. We are going to be going to all 9 weeks plus the World Championships. So everybody get ready.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
No. Yeah. Yep. I don't know how we're going to fund it yet. Maybe we'll set up a GoFundMe or we'll. We'll get some grants.
Well, I'm actually going to Europe in the summer.
Yeah, to check out the summer biathlon scene, right? You guys are going to go to Summer Worlds and
Yeah, and I think Blink. we're going to be not too far from Antholz at some point. So,
oh really?
I would love to just have like a roller ski there, but
if you do, you got to get a bunch of pictures. Yeah,
yeah, oh, yeah. For sure.
All right, I think we will we'll go ahead and cut it here, and our next episode.
You in a good mood again. By showing the bib one more time.
Ah, yes, the bib one more time.
Yeah.
I'll be in my car probably in about an hour, and I will be on my way there. So can't be too long a drive, right?
So is it actually still snowing or?
No. It's actually quite warm now. Yeah. Okay. It's all melting. We went to a children's museum, like a science center. It was great. And I mean that sincerely. Well, they had an awesome time.
Of all the bad things. You not being here, I was sort of happy that, you know, you at least had family to stay with and that you were able to have a great time.
Katie's aunt and uncle and her grandmother all live in Denver, so it's not like we were without. So
yeah.
All right, so we will be chatting again soon.
Yes,
and hopefully we'll have this one up shortly, and then we'll have the next one up coming after that.
Sounds good.
Awesome. All right. Bye. Yep. Take care.
Take care, man. Bye.
Bye.